Hello everyone, welcome back to Holding Fast to Faith. I am your host Brett Hill, and today we have a great message for you coming out of the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. So if you don't have your Bible with you, pause your podcast, run back, get your Bible, come back and join us. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verses 11 through 19. The title of the message today is Be Smart Enough to Avoid Your Weaknesses. We're coming out of Ecclesiastes 7 verses 11 through 19. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongs his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldst thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should thou die before thy time? It is good that thou should take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand, for he that fears God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengthens the wise man more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Now I want to talk to you today about weak spots and weak spots in our system. A weak spot in our spirit, a weak spot in our flesh in our wisdom is kind of like going to battle without your armor on. Not everyone who gets up from an altar can take down a giant with a sling or stone. It takes more than a prayer sometimes. We can't all be King David when he was a teenager. Most of us, and when I say most, I should say all, we need to wear the armor of God continually. So I want to talk to you about that for just a minute, mainly the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation guards our minds. It protects us from unholy thoughts and from the old man trying to come back up. It protects us from the sinful nature that we once were. The helmet of salvation guards us from the enemy coming into our mind and into our thoughts and trying to dig up things of the past and making us go back to the flesh that we were set free from when Christ came into our life. Now, if you refuse to wear the helmet of salvation, your mind will start to explore on some things. And soon enough, it will cause your flesh to start desiring some things you have no business desiring. It will cause your flesh to start looking for things, start going back into the past and wanting to take part in stuff that you have no business going back to as a child of God. Proverbs 22 and verse 3 tells us that the wise sees danger ahead and avoids it, but fools keep on going and get into trouble. Church, this is why the alcoholic should not work at a bar, and he shouldn't be hanging out with people that goes out and hangs out at bars. He shouldn't be hanging around alcohol and drinking and things like that if he has a problem with alcohol. The drug addict don't need to work at a pharmacy, and he don't need to live in a neighborhood where it's easy access to get down on the street corner and get access to those drugs that he was set free from when Christ come into his life. The pornography addict should stay away from internet cafes and shouldn't even be around computers if he has that problem. A thief shouldn't be a bank teller or someone that works at a cash register, and even an overeater shouldn't work as a pie taster in a bakery. Come on now, if we know what our weaknesses are, if we know where our flesh will take control, if we know we will give in to that sin when we get close to it, we also should be smart enough to stay away from those places that we know will drag us into the traps that we once were part of, that we've been rescued from as a Christian. If you have a problem with drinking, don't go hang out with drinkers. Get away from those friends. You know you will give in and fall into that trap, so don't do it. My Bible tells me to abstain from the very appearance of evil. In other words, don't get close enough to it to even look like you might do it. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. Don't even get involved in it. Don't let it look like you got involved in it. Just stay completely away so that nobody can even say that you're taking any part of it. So listen to me now. If you have had the privilege of having God deliver you from something, if you've been set free from something, maybe you was an addict, some sort of drug addict or an alcoholic or something like that. Maybe God has delivered you from something really horrible in your life. And if you've had the privilege of having God deliver you from something, you know how bad the battle is just trying to avoid that something and trying to keep away from it. And the struggle is real. And nobody plans on becoming a junkie. Nobody grows up with a desire to live in prison and the desire to live captive by something to hold them down. And another way to say that is nobody wakes up one morning making the decision and they wake up and say, you know what? I'm just going to be an alcoholic. Starting today, that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to ruin my life and become an alcoholic and have a serious problem with alcohol. No, nobody does those things. Nobody makes those kind of decisions. These bad things happen to us because we don't guard ourselves from them when we should. Now, the Bible tells us how to do this in Psalms 141, verses 3 through 4. It says, God, give me grace to guard my lips from speaking what is wrong. Guide me away from temptation and doing evil. Save me from sinful habits and from keeping company with those who are experts in evil. Listen to me, church. If your mouth is what gets you in trouble, then you need to be asking God to help you with that. Ask Him to keep that thing shut when you don't need to be opening it. Tell Him to keep your words at bay, to not let you speak things that you shouldn't. Tell God to put His Holy Spirit between your mind and your mouth so that He can filter the words that's coming out of it. If sinful habits happen to be your downfall, pray and ask God to break those chains off of you and set you free from those things that you're bound by, and He will do that you ask Him of if you believe He will. And most of all, you need to ask Him to give you courage and discernment enough to avoid those people who are experts at doing evil. At some point in our walk with God, we have to lay down that warm bottle of milk and quit drinking the milk. We've got to pick up the meat and potatoes and get the knife and the fork out and grow up spiritually and learn to lay down the things that we know are not good for us. We need to get off of just the basics of salvation and start learning the spiritual maturity of God's Word and be able to rise up above the things that are tearing our lives apart. It's not wise at all to know our actions lead us into sinning and then not do anything about those actions. Numbers chapter 32 verses 23 says that, and you might be sure, or you may be sure, that your sins will find you out. Proverbs 28 and 13 says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Now, I don't know about you, but I would love to live in mercy. I would love to live in God's goodness, His love and His kindness and in His long suffering and Him endure me and all the faults that I have as a fleshly man. I would love to have His mercy every single day, that His grace, His mercy would follow me around all the days of my life. I want to make sure that that's what's going on in my life. I don't want to conceal sin and not have it forgiven, not renounce my sin and live under judgment and chastisement. I don't want that for myself. And the Bible says that I won't prosper if that's the way that I act. But it says that if I'll confess my sins, renounce those actions and turn away from them, then I'll find mercy in the eyes of God. And that's what I want in my life. That's what I want for you, the listener. So do you know what will make you pull back into that old sinful mentality? You know that will make you turn around and go back into that stuff? Hanging out with those same people. Those people that are experts at doing evil. That's what the Bible says they are. They're experts at doing evil. You need to get you some new friends. You need to find you some new friends and don't go out to the bar to find them. That's what got you in trouble to start with. Don't go hang out the clubs and dance parties and stuff like that. Don't go around to the drug addict and hang out downtown where there's on every street corner you can find drug addicts and find any type of narcotic that you want to take. Don't go find your friends right there. That's what got you in trouble to start with. Find them in God's house. Go into God's house and go looking for somebody that you know is looking for the Lord and seeking the Lord and wanting His love in their life and wanting His Spirit to lead and guide them. Men, if you've got a woman out, if you're looking for a woman, if you're trying to find a woman to be part of your life, maybe you like to get married and start a family, don't go out to the places out there where sin is at trying to find a woman. Get inside the house of God. Watch a good godly woman that's sitting on the church pew that puts her hands in the air and worships God. Watch her carrying her Bible around. Look at her Bible and see if it's wore out. See if the pages are tattered and torn. See if she's got highlighted spots and markings and notes taken in it. See if there's some tear stains in that Bible. Find you somebody that's seeking God with all of her heart and go after that woman. That'll be a good woman for you, and she won't drag you down. She'll keep you on the right path. She'll be good for your life. But you need to get some good friends, and you need to find them in the house of God. Women, you need to do the same thing. Don't go after a man just because you like what you see. Look at that man's heart and make sure he'll treat you the way he's supposed to treat you. Make sure he's loving God and serving God and going to church and being the man of God he's supposed to be and reading his Bible, and look at the knees and make sure he's getting on his knees and praying to God and spending time in the altar. You need to make sure that you vet people against the Word of God before you ever start trying to date them, because that old stuff is what got you in trouble to start with. Don't go back to that life that was destroying you, nor those type of people that was part of that life. The Bible says to be you separate, to come out from among those type of people and not have any part of this world. So God's Word don't just save. God's Word transforms us. He regenerates us. He does away with the old man and recreates us into someone totally new. He does away with that old mentality. The Word of God will flush that old stuff out of you if you'll let it. He'll get rid of those old weaknesses, and he'll push that stuff out of your life in time, and by recreating you through His righteousness and regenerating your mind by going through your thoughts and replacing the old thoughts with new stuff. His Bible says that whatsoever things are good, pure, holy, and of good report, think on these things. Well, His Word, His Spirit, His love, His kindness, His goodness, those things are good, pure, and holy. You need to be thinking and concentrating on them. Ephesians 4 and 22 through 24 says that you should put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, church, that former conversation concerning the old man should never come up in your life again. You don't need to talk about that old man anymore. Now, it's good to give a testimony every now and then and give a brief highlight, but you don't need to go into detail, and you don't need to spend a lot of time dwelling on who you used to be. If you do, you hang out on those thoughts long enough, the devil will use that as leverage against you. Don't let the devil talk about that stuff around you. Don't let him pull you back into that conversation. That former conversation concerning the old man is a corrupt conversation. It will pull you into the flesh just talking about it if you hang around in it long enough. In verse number 23, he said to be renewed. How do you be renewed? He said in the spirit of your mind. When Jesus Christ moved into your life, a new spirit moved into you. The Spirit of God has settled up and taken up residence inside of you, and that spirit needs to get into your mind and start renewing the thoughts and putting some new things in your head, and that's the Word of God. The thoughts of God, the mind of Christ needs to renew your mind and flush that stuff out of you so that you don't think like you used to think, so you don't act like you used to act, and you don't do the things that you used to do. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, because that's where all your troubles started. That's where things got bad to start with. That's why you needed to find yourself a savior, because you couldn't stop the things you was doing by yourself. So don't be letting the old man come back up in your mind. Let Jesus Christ flush out your mind with the precious Word of God and cleanse you and wash you and put His righteous Word inside of you and change who you are from the inside out. Now listen, we need to trash that old man. We need to let the Holy Spirit invade our thinking so that we are not thinking like our old man was. We don't need to think in the flesh. We need to think in the Spirit. We need our thoughts to be good thoughts, pure thoughts, holy thoughts, thoughts of good report. And the only good report is the Bible, Genesis 3, Revelation, God's Word. We need to be thinking and talking about that and having conversations about God's Word. And He will clean that mess up between our ears when we are doing that, because that's what He does best. So we need to be wise enough to know that to know what our weak spots are. We need to be smart enough to figure out what our weaknesses are and stay away from them and avoid them and don't get around them. Don't get close to them and toy with them. Don't get over there, play around and beat around the bush with your weak spots. Don't tempt yourself. Don't be tempting your flesh to go back to what that stuff is. You're not strong enough to avoid them. Nobody's strong enough to avoid your weaknesses when you toy with them, when you hang around with them, when you taunt them, when you get right next to the edge and just see how close you can get to it without doing it, you're going to fail every time. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be of a sober spirit and always be on the alert. What's he saying? Red flag your weaknesses. Avoid the traps that come around those weaknesses. Keep your spirit sober-minded and alert about what's going on. Always be aware of where you are concerning your flesh. Always be aware of where you are concerning sin and the old man and the weaknesses that you once had in your body. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says to watch over your heart with all diligence, and from it flows the springs of life. If you're not watching over your heart, then the enemy will get into your heart, because the scripture says that man's heart is evil. The heart of man is, the fleshly heart of man is evil by design. It's corrupt, and when Christ comes into our heart, that's where he dwells, and we need to protect our heart and guard our heart, because the enemy will get back in our heart. Jesus said it's not what goes into us that defiles us, but what comes out of our heart. If we let those old man thoughts get from our head back down into our heart, we'll start living those things out again. So Proverbs is saying we should watch our heart and guard it with all diligence, because the flowing of the springs of life flows out of our heart. We need to protect that and keep the waters of life flowing. So what is he saying right there? We need to be smart enough to know what our weaknesses are and avoid them. So here's your good scripture to remember if you want to write it down. 2 John chapter 1 verse 8. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what you have accomplished. Don't be losing what you've accomplished. You need to guard it and watch over yourself so that you may receive the full reward. He's telling us that there is the opportunity that if you get back into the flesh, if you let the old man rise back up, if you don't guard your heart and guard yourself and protect yourself from the old man and from the tricks of the devil, that you can lose what you have accomplished and everything that you've struggled for, everything that you've worked for in the kingdom of God and the maturity that you've gotten to. If you let the enemy get hold of your heart and get hold of your mind again, you can lose what you've already accomplished. And we don't want to hear the Savior of all mankind when we get to heaven look at us and say, get away from me, I never knew you. Satan would like nothing more than to destroy everything that you work for with one single moment in time, to where he utilizes your weakness as a means of breaking your armor and defeating you. He don't care who he hurts in the process. He don't care if he destroys your children's lives too, as long as he can get hold of you. Your weaknesses, our weaknesses, are Satan's opportunities. Do not allow him a foothold in your life and in your mind, because he will get in, and if the door is left open, he will scotch that door open and bring all his friends with him, and they'll get in your life and camp out, and they will do nothing shy of destroying you. Now, Paul was writing to Timothy, encouraging him to stay true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 6 and 20, he says, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. What's he saying to you? Listen, if you fall for anything, if you're one of these people that can get drug into a trap, don't get caught into a debate. Don't give the enemy the opportunity to change your thinking. Guard the word of God that's been entrusted to you. Don't let the enemy trick you into some sort of debate that will get you into the flesh, fighting and arguing with people, and get into a worthless argument that will lead you nowhere. All that does is pulls you down into the flesh. That stuff leads you to an argument that nobody wins except for the enemy. Satan looks at you to where he's pulled you down in the flesh. He's pulled you down in the ditches. We need to just stop it. Don't get involved in that. If you get into a heated argument trying to win someone over to your way of thinking, the next thing that you know, that you're in a fight, you're angry, you're bitter, bitterness sets in, and you started out trying to be a witness for Christ, but now you're a witness for the devil's trickery. He won that battle. You didn't win it. Just avoid doing it. We're all smart enough to know how we're going to act when we get in those type of arguments. So when the argument starts trying to rise up, just don't do it. Don't get in there. Don't just why in the world can't we just get away from it and not do it? You know, you find people that's, you know, you got these addicts, they know what their triggers are. The people that are porn addicts, the people that are alcoholics, the people that are drug addicts, all these folks, they know what their triggers are. We need to be wise enough to avoid the triggers. The alcoholic knows that he won't stop at one drink if he's ever allowed to get one. So he needs to be wise enough to avoid that one trigger. Don't get around people that will pull you back into that stuff. Satan knows what your weakness is, and he's always looking for a way to exploit that weakness and destroy you with it. Psalms chapter 39 verse 1 says, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. What is he saying here? I will not give the enemy the ammo to use against me out of my own mouth. I don't want to give him any kind of leverage against me, so I'm going to guard my tongue. I'm going to make sure of what I say. I'm not going to let the enemy use my words and twist them and turn it into something that's not going to glorify God and then try to destroy my reputation. Church, God's reputation to this world is tied to the actions of the church. That's right. If a Christian loses their temper and mouths off to people, especially in public, that Christian name gets trampled with that person that's doing it. So if you have a temper, you need to ask God to get it under the blood and fix it so that you don't ruin God's name when you're out there doing it, because all the world wants to do is have an excuse to hammer the church anyway. People everywhere are holding the church to a higher standard, along with a standard of unforgiveness. The world is a grudge holder against the church, and our weaknesses can make things worse for God's reputation. Now God's not going to be harmed himself, but the church's reputation is going to be harmed, which means that the sinner is not going to want to come into the church and be part of the church and give his heart to Christ and become forgiven, because the world that he lives in has damaged the church's reputation with all the talk and chatter because of what you and I do in our mistakes, and we fall for the tricks of the devil and we make the church have a bad name. So we don't only need to guard ourselves, but we need to guard what has been entrusted to us, and that's Jesus' namesake. We need to protect his name. We're wearing his name. We call ourselves a Christ-like person, a Christian, so we need to guard his namesake and protect his namesake for the reputation of his word, so that when we witness to somebody, that our witness has got a good reputation, it's got a good name, and people's not thinking bad of us. The Bible says that we should have a good name with both God and men. So we need to make sure we can do that. Why? Because we want them to listen to us. We want them to hear us. We want them to hear the word of God and change. So the world needs to see a real, genuine difference between those people and the church itself. And if we don't watch ourselves and we don't red flag our weaknesses and avoid those weaknesses, they will never see the word in the truth like we live it. They don't know the word of God like we do. So the only way that they judge the word of God and on the way that they judge the church is what we the Christians look like, what we the Christians act like, our actions, our habits, our mistakes. Don't allow the devil the opportunity to exploit your weaknesses and destroy the name of the church and keep people from being saved. You don't want to be on that side of the judgment table when you face Christ and he tells you, hey, because of you, this guy right here would not listen to the word of God and he died and went to hell over that. I don't want that conversation to be said about me. They're all traps to keep you from being an effective witness for Christ. So listen, we have a mandate that we are to be the light of the world and set the example for the church, set the example for Jesus Christ, share the gospel so that all people that's possible will come to know the Lord and be a Christian and serve him and be part of the kingdom of God. Our weak spots can hinder God's plans for us and will keep people from coming into the kingdom of God. If you have a weakness that you need God to help you with, if you have a problem that you need God to strengthen you in, you need to lay it down on the altar right right now. Let him have it. Ask God for strength to overcome the temptations that you are facing. Overcome the weaknesses and get ask him to give you the wisdom, to give you the strength and the courage to be able to stand up against your own flesh and to avoid your weaknesses so that you can be an effective witness for him. Amen. Listen, I want to pray with you today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word with your people. God, I ask you right now that this word settles into their heart. Lord, that if there's people out there listening to this podcast that's walking around with weaknesses in their flesh, God, I pray that you reveal the weaknesses. Give us all the strength, Heavenly Father. Lord, give us your wisdom and the know-how, Lord, and give us the direction and the courage to follow those directions to avoid our weaknesses, to avoid the traps that Satan sets for us that keeps us from being effective witnesses. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit walks with us, talks to us, and teaches us to red flag those areas in our life so that we won't approach them. We won't get near them, Lord, that we won't come near them. We won't come anywhere close to getting back to the old man at all, Lord, that we will dwell on you. We'll think about the things that are good, pure, and holy, and of good report. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the seed that's been sown today and the effectiveness that you're causing us to be in your kingdom. We give you the glory for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. If you have let God touch your life today, share it with us. Reach out to us at holdingfasttofaith@outlook.com. Let us know your testimony. Let us share in the rejoicing with you. Listen, if you have a weakness in your life, continue to pray and ask for God to help you with that weakness. He'll strengthen you. Don't ask for it and not expect it. Have a heart of expectation that God will do what he says he will do, and he'll do just that. Wait upon the Lord. Be patient. Let him do it in his timing, and he'll never fail you. He'll always come through. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next one.